remembers lost vision. It says they came to Bethsaida and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and he said, "I see men walking around like trees." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village again." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the people you love so much. Thank you for your presence here and your powerful word. Lord, I pray that you'd come, open our eyes, unstop our ears. Lord, give us hearts to receive the eternal truth of God. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. We're on a journey of discovery together here at Harvest Time. In the Gospel of John, we've explored who is Jesus and witnesses to Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, we've explored the words of Jesus. Now we're in the remarkable Gospel of Mark. And for the last few weeks, we've explored the works of Jesus. Today, we're going to continue our travels in Mark, and we're going to explore the way of Jesus. The very heart of the Gospel of Mark is a section of verses called the way. It begins with the healing of the blind man from Bethsaida in Mark chapter 8, and it concludes with the healing of blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. And these two healing miracles of two blind men make a pair of bookends right in the center of the Gospel of Mark. And in between those bookends, Jesus is leading his disciples on a journey. Physically, they're traveling from Galilee in the north of Israel down to Jerusalem in the south of Israel. And on the way, Jesus leads his disciples and us on a spiritual journey. On the way, Jesus reveals the true nature of his messiahship and the true nature of our discipleship. So for these next few weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to follow along with Jesus and the disciples on the way. Our voyage departs from a fishing village on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and we're barely clear of the city limits of Bethsaida when we learn the first important truth about Jesus. He is the one who restores lost vision. And as I look at the healing of the blind man from Bethsaida, I find three steps to restoring lost vision, and I want to share them quickly with you this morning. And of course, by quickly, I'm being completely insincere. Sit back, relax, take out your notepads. You're going to be here a while. Three steps to restored vision. The first one is this. Let Jesus lead you away from fishy faith. Let Jesus lead you away from fishy faith. Without a doubt, the healing of the blind man from Bethsaida is the most unique healing miracle in the entire ministry of Jesus. Jesus arrives by boat to the fishing village. The name Bethsaida means house of fish. And some people bring a blind man and beg Jesus to touch him. And the first unusual thing that Jesus does is he takes the blind man by the hand and he leads him away from Bethsaida. In Mark, Jesus' healing ministry is always a very public affair. You might remember we talked about the Sabbath day showdown in the synagogue of Capernaum. Jesus purposely asked the man with the withered hand to stand up and to stretch out his hand so that everyone had a front row seat to see the healing miracle that Jesus was about to do. That's the way Jesus always does it in the Gospel of Mark. But now Jesus purposely leads the blind man away from Bethsaida to do a private miracle. Why did he do that? Every miracle teaches us something important about Jesus. Mark is the gospel of miracles. It's the shortest gospel, but it has more miracles than all the others. In Mark, Jesus shows us who he is by what he does. He is the Son of Righteousness, the Jewish Messiah, the one and only Savior of the world, risen with healing in the corners of his prayer shawl. Miracles teach us that Jesus is Lord over all creation. Miracles teach us that he is Lord over nature. Who is this man? Even the winds obey him. Miracles teach us that Jesus is Lord over human bodies. He's Lord over demons. He has authority over sin and sickness and even death itself. God's Son has invaded and has bound and has plundered God's adversary. Every miracle teaches us something important, but this one stands out head and shoulders among them all. The healing of the blind man from Bethsaida is a literal healing miracle that Jesus uses like a parable. It's a physical miracle that Jesus uses to teach a spiritual lesson. And this is the message. Let me lead you away from Bethsaida. There's something fishy about this place. Let's move on from here. Let's move on from spiritual blindness. Let's move on from spiritual immaturity. Let's move on from spiritual myopia. Let's go deeper in faith. Let's go up higher together. In the healing of the blind man from Bethsaida, Jesus is illustrating a journey that every disciple must take, a journey from spiritual blindness to restored spiritual sight. Apparently, this blind man was once able to see. As he begins to regain his sight through the healing touch of Jesus, he can see what looks like, from his previous memory, men like trees. I see men like trees. So his was a miracle of lost vision restored. The blind man from Bethsaida is a picture of every one of us. In the beginning, all men had spiritual vision. In the beginning, all men knew God. All men could grasp spiritual realities. All men could comprehend spiritual truths. All men knew that God existed. They knew his identity and his nature. All men could perceive God's presence. But sin plunged us all into darkness. Paul said it like this: although men knew God, they didn't glorify him as God or give him thanks, so their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Paul says the lights went out. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. Jesus puts it like this: they have eyes, but they cannot see. Everyone has lost his vision because of sin. Everyone needs to have his vision restored by Jesus. Every man, every woman needs Jesus' divine touch in his or her innermost being. Everyone needs to have his spirit awakened from the spiritual death that's caused by sin. Everyone needs to have his spiritual senses restored. Beloved, no matter how great a miracle you might need this morning, you might need a marriage miracle, you might need a money miracle, you might need a medical miracle, you might need a multiple choice miracle. I need help with all of the above. No matter how great a miracle you might need, can I tell you the greatest miracle that you will ever receive is the private miracle of Jesus' inner regeneration. The greatest miracle you could ever receive is for Jesus to awaken your spirit, which was dead in trespasses and sins. The greatest miracle you could ever receive is for Jesus to awaken your dead spiritual senses, to restore your lost vision. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
was blind, but now I see.
The first step to restored vision is to let Jesus lead you away from fishy faith. Let Jesus lead you away from the old strongholds that have kept you bound in spiritual blindness. Let Jesus lead you away from secular skepticism. There was something fishy about Bethsaida. There's another rare private miracle in the Gospel of Mark. We already studied it. It's when Jesus enters Jairus' house and he throws out all the mourners because of their unbelief. For the very same reason here, Jesus leads the blind man out of Bethsaida because it was a stronghold of unbelief. Jesus pronounced judgment over Bethsaida. He said, "Woe to you, Bethsaida." Beloved, listen to me. When Jesus says, "Woe," you better say, "Woe." "Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the Philistines had seen the miracles you have seen, even they would have believed, but you would not." Mark 6 says that Jesus could not do many miracles in that region because of their unbelief. Bethsaida was a religious town whose atmosphere was pervaded by secular skepticism. They weren't convinced about Jesus. They weren't convinced of his true identity. They weren't convinced of his power. And in order for Jesus to restore the blind man's sight, he had to pull him away from all of that. Jesus could not heal the blind man so long as the blind man remained entrenched in the society for the blind. Beloved, Jesus needs to pull us away from secular skepticism too. Ours has become a society for the blind. The blind leading the blind. Jesus said, thinking themselves to be wise, they became ever more foolish. So God gave them over to sexual impurity, to shameful lusts, and depraved minds. Beloved, can I tell you, we need to pray for America. We need to pray urgently, urgently for America. We're in a mess. We're in a huge mess. We need another awakening. We need another Holy Ghost revival to sweep this entire country. We need another Jesus movement. I want to tell you honestly, my heart is so broken for young adults and for teenagers who are so warped and so messed up because the fabric of family life has frayed to nothing. They don't know how to experience intimacy. They have a revolving door of relationships in their lives. They're so bound and so addicted and so detached from reality that I want to tell you the only thing that can shake them out of it is a supernatural touch from Jesus. How ironic that what Western society called enlightenment, God calls in his word darkness. Jesus needs to lead us away from skepticism. Jesus needs to lead us away from naturalism. He needs to lead us away from secular humanism. He needs to lead us away from existentialism. Jesus needs to lead us away from all the vain and carnal philosophies of this present age that are contrary to God's word of eternal truth. Let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus lead you away from childhood misconceptions about Messiah. There was something fishy about Bethsaida. It was the boyhood home of Peter and Andrew and Philip. They grew up in the Bethsaida synagogue. They learned the Torah. They learned the Jewish prayers. They learned about Messiah. They learned that when Messiah came, he would rescue the Jewish people. They learned that Messiah would set injustices right. He would punish the wicked and he would reward the righteous. They learned that Messiah would reestablish the throne of David in Jerusalem. They learned that Messiah would restore Israel to her former glory, first among nations and the joy of the whole earth. What they didn't learn about Messiah was that his first mission was to restore men's lost spiritual sight. From their childhood in Bethsaida, the disciples had misconceptions about Messiah. The true work of Messiah was a far cry from what they envisioned. The bad guys that Jesus came to rescue them from, it was themselves. The oppression that Jesus came to deliver them from was not the tyranny of Rome, it was slavery to sin in their hearts. The poverty Jesus came to bail them out of was moral and spiritual bankruptcy. The kingdom Jesus came to establish was an unseen kingdom inside the hearts of men. Their childhood misconceptions had blinded them to the true nature of Jesus' messiahship. We didn't read it, but in the boat on the way to Bethsaida, Jesus rebuked the disciples for being spiritually blind. He said, "Can't you see yet?" In leading the blind man out of Bethsaida, Jesus is drawing a picture. It's time to let me lead you away from your childhood misconceptions about me. It's time to move on from spiritual myopia. It's time to move on to maturity. You know, some of us grew up in worn-out religion that has given us a warped picture of Jesus. Some of us envision him as angry. Some of us envision him as mean. Some of us envision him as weak. Some of us envision him as irrelevant, a relic, a vestige of old superstition. Some of us envision him as unapproachable. Some people envision him like some kind of genie. Your wish is my command. Some envision him as a champion of social justice. He was not. Jesus did not change men's circumstances. He changed men's hearts. And changed hearts resulted in changed circumstances. Beloved, listen to me. The answer to poverty and ignorance here in America or anywhere in the world it may be is not to throw money at it. It's to throw Jesus' salvation at it. Just like the first disciples, our warped visions of Jesus prevent him from truly seeing him. This is a healing miracle with a message. Let me lead you to a place of clear vision about me. Let Jesus lead you. Let him lead you away from reluctance to his leadership. There was something fishy about Bethsaida. The people of Bethsaida were curious about Jesus, but they weren't convinced about his leadership. They were drawn to his miracles, but they weren't ready to make him their Messiah. Beloved, listen, Jesus only leads those who will let him lead. He only leads those who will follow willingly. He only leads those who entrust themselves to his leadership. The seeing people of Bethsaida wouldn't follow Jesus, but a blind man would. I wonder how difficult it was for him. The man's friends had brought him for prayer, not for a hike. He expected Jesus to put his hands on him and to say a prayer, not to take him for a walk in the park. What would it be like to blindly follow a complete stranger? Could you trust where he would lead you? Could you trust how he would lead you? Could you trust his judgment? Could you trust his attentiveness? Could you trust his watchfulness? I've never had the opportunity to lead anybody blind, but I do remember one occasion where I had to escort my little grandmother. I was a teenager when my oldest sister, Laurie, got married. My grandmother was still living, and she was just a little tiny thing. She was only 4'11", and at the end of her life, I think when she passed, she only weighed like 80 or 85 pounds, and she was very frail, and she was very unsteady on her feet. And normally, my father escorted her everywhere, and she was secure on his arm, but since my sister was getting married, and my dad had to escort my sister down the aisle, I, as a 15-year-old kid, had the honor of escorting my grandmother. And she wasn't too sure about my leadership. I was only 15, and even though I was a foot taller and had 50 or 60 pounds on her, I was 15, so I was used to just concentrating on where I wanted to go and getting there as quickly as I could. So I remember my grandmother hanging on my arm very tentatively, and she kept saying to me all through the day, "Don't drop me, don't drop me, don't drop me." How much trust did it take for the blind man to let Jesus lead him out of the city? And yet, that is a critical moment of decision that every disciple of Jesus must come to. The moment when we take a leap of faith and we put our hand in his and we blindly trust where he will lead us. We blindly trust how he will lead us. It says in Isaiah of the Messiah, "I will lead the blind by ways that they have never gone before." The first step to restored vision is to let Jesus lead you away from your past life. He told the blind man, "Don't go back there again." Let him lead you away from worn out religion. Worn out religion is boring. This is exciting. Let Jesus lead you away from misconceptions about him. Let him lead you away from doubt. I ask you this morning, have you said yes to his leadership? Three steps to restored vision. Second step is this. Experience Jesus' touch. You doing all right this morning? All right, because it's about to get good. Experience Jesus' touch. Touch was always important in the healing ministry of Jesus. Sometimes Jesus laid his hands on people and they were healed. Sometimes people touched him and they were healed. But only Mark records two healing ministries in which touch played an especially important role. The first one is in Mark 7. There was a man who was deaf and who was mute. And Jesus healed the man by putting his fingers in the man's ears and by spitting on his tongue. And all God's people said, "Ew." And then in Mark 8, Jesus heals the blind man by spitting in his eyes and by putting his hands on them. Mark is recalling a messianic prophecy from Isaiah 35. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the mute will shout for joy. But it also shows the incredible, amazing love and compassion of Jesus for people. To those whose senses are paralyzed, his touch talks. His touch says, "I'm here with you." His touch says, "I care." His touch says, "I can help you." Beloved, Jesus' touch affirms. Jesus' touch validates. Jesus' touch, it reassures. Jesus' touch, it comforts. Jesus' touch gives hope. In their broken condition, I wonder how long it had been since either of these men had felt an affirming touch. Several years ago, I met a pastor who started a ministry to AIDS patients. This was back in the days when there was a lot that was unknown about the disease and there was tremendous fear. And he shared the story of sitting by the bed of a dying man. He had led the man to Christ earlier, and now the disease had run its course, and the man was close to death. And so Pastor Dave leaned forward, and he asked the man, "Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do to make you more comfortable?" And the man started to cry. And he said, "Pastor, I don't know when was the last time that somebody touched me." Because AIDS was so dreaded, Pastor Dave was wearing hospital scrubs. He was wearing a gown. He was wearing the surgical hat and a mask over his mouth and nose, and he was wearing latex gloves. And every person that had touched that man for month after month as they administered medicine to him were wearing the same kind of garb. And Pastor Dave started to cry too. And he took off the hat and he took off the mask. And he took off the gown and he took off the latex gloves and he sat on the edge of the man's bed and he held his hand until he died. Beloved, that's what Jesus did. Jesus removed the barrier between us and God. Jesus stepped out of heaven. He took off the mask. He took off the hat. He took off the latex gloves. And he reached out with a touch that lets us know that God loves us. Jesus' touch has the power to communicate the love of God to men who are bound in a prison of darkness and silence. And Jesus still touches today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paul said he's not far from any one of us. His desire is that we would seek him, that perhaps we would reach out and find him. If you want to be touched by Jesus, all you have to do is reach your little hand up to heaven as far as it'll go and say that wonderful name, and Jesus will reach over the balcony of heaven and he'll reach all the way down. He'll close the gap and he'll touch you. How do you know when you've been touched by Jesus? Oh, when you've been touched by Jesus, something starts to happen inside of you. When you've been touched by Jesus, you begin to experience new sensations. You begin to see new things. You begin to understand things that were mysteries to you before. When Jesus touches you, you become convinced of his existence and his identity. When Jesus touches you, you become overwhelmed by the amazing love of God for you. When Jesus touches you, you become secure inside that you belong to him. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and the daughters of God. You know that you know that you know that the King of the universe is now your dad. When Jesus touches you, you become aware of God's presence with you. Beloved, listen to me. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus just as real to you as if you could see him with your own eyes. I know that my Redeemer lives and I will stand with him on that day. When Jesus touches you, you become hungry for more of him. You just can't get enough. You become hungry for the word. You become hungry for worship and for fellowship. Everything starts to look different to you. You see things in a new light. You see everything in a new perspective. I was on the phone this week with a friend who's been coming to Harvest Time for maybe 2 months or so now. And he shared with me an experience that he had a few weeks ago when we gave an altar call in one of our services. He said, Pastor Glenn, said when you gave the altar call, he said, I swear to you, he said, my legs started to move and I couldn't stop them. And he said, I got to about the front row of chairs and I thought to myself, you know, I'll just hold up here. I'll stay a safe distance away. But he said, my legs wouldn't stop moving. And he said, next thing I know, I was standing right in front of you. I didn't know what I was doing there, but you started praying for people. And then he said, bam, I was on the floor. But he said this to me. He said, Pastor Glenn, I grew up in church, but I have never been to a church like Harvest Time. He said, when you preach, everything is so clear. He said, I understand it. He said, the Bible comes alive to me. Beloved, I want to tell you, I get that a lot. And I want to say to you, it is not my teaching. It is Jesus touching. See, I'm not that good, but he is. It's his living presence in this room, awakening men from spiritual slumber. It's his living presence in this room, opening spiritual eyes and unstopping spiritual ears. It's his living presence in this room, loosing tongues to give glory to God. And the point of our friend's time on the floor was not to fall on the floor. The point of his time on the floor was that in that moment, Jesus was touching him and restoring his spiritual vision. So what about you? Have you been touched by Jesus? Listen to me. Jesus' teaching only matters if it's accompanied by his living touch. Jesus' teaching alone is not enough to restore lost vision unless his living touch comes with it. The people of Bethsaida had heard Jesus teach, and still they were blind. The disciples had followed Jesus for almost 3 years, and they had heard his teaching, yet they were still spiritually myopic. There are men who devote their entire lives to the study of the Gospels, only to come to the conclusion that Jesus was just some kind of myth or a metaphor. There are people who spend their entire lives in church and are never really convinced in their innermost being that he is. The blind man from Bethsaida is a healing miracle with an urgent message. Only the living touch of Jesus can restore spiritual sight. Three steps to restored vision. Finally, this. Let Jesus touch you again and again and again until you are completely restored. Let Jesus touch you again and again and again until you are completely restored. The healing miracle of the blind man from Bethsaida is absolutely unique in the ministry of Jesus. It is the only progressive miracle of Jesus. Jesus led the blind man out of Bethsaida, and he spat on the man's eyes, and he touched him. And then Jesus did something that he never did. He asked the man, "Do you see anything?" Beloved, Jesus always pronounced people healed. He never asked anybody, "Are you healed?" And yet he asked this man, "Do you see anything?" Why? Well, that was the last question that he asked the disciples on the boat before they arrived in Bethsaida. Do you see? Do you understand? Do you see yet? The man had partially restored vision. He said, I see men, but they look like trees. Let me tell you something. I'm 45 and I'm starting to see men like trees, especially at night. Every room I walk into, I'm like, gosh, it's awfully dark in here. I need Jesus or bifocals. I'll take Jesus, they're cheaper. He said, Lord, I see men, but they look like trees. So Jesus touched him again. And this time, his vision was completely restored. It says he saw everything clearly. Literally, in Greek, those words mean he could see at a far distance. With the first touch of Jesus, he went from being blind to being nearsighted. With the second touch of Jesus, he went from being nearsighted to perfect 20/20 vision. And this is how we know that Jesus intended this, among all miracles, to communicate a very special message. It's not that Jesus was too weak to heal the man on the first pass. If Jesus could raise a little girl from the dead by uttering a single word, if he could unstop deaf ears and loose a mute tongue with one touch, then certainly blindness was not too difficult for Jesus. But he healed this man in stages to illustrate to us that spiritual blindness is very difficult to overcome. It requires his touch again and again and again. That's why we keep coming back, isn't it? That's why we came for worship this Sunday. We were here last Sunday. And the Sunday before that, Lord willing, we'll be here next Sunday. And the Sunday after that, Pastor Ruth, I don't know how many Sundays we have left. Jesus is coming soon. But it's why we keep coming back. That's why we keep coming back to worship. That's why we keep coming back to receive his word. That's why we keep coming back for fellowship. That's why, even though we've been to this altar before, we keep coming back again and again and again. That's why we keep on Bible reading and Bible studying. That's why we keep on fasting. That's why we keep on praying with our understanding and with tongues. That's why we keep asking and seeking and knocking. Pray, 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 pray with escalating urgency. Pray with escalating fervor. Pray with escalating anticipation. Pray, pray, pray. And God will answer, answer, answer. spiritual blindness is difficult to overcome. It requires His touch again and again and again. That's why we keep pressing in. That's why we keep reaching for more. That's why we keep pursuing Jesus and never giving up until He makes us completely whole. Beloved, listen to me. God has a living word for someone in this place this morning. Receive the grace of God. Receive His word of life. Don't settle for a half restoration. Press into Jesus until His touch makes you whole. Hebrews says, listen, this is a verse from Hebrews. This is for somebody in this place. Receive the grace of God. Receive the word of God this morning. Hebrews says, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to Him, come to God through Him, because He always lives to make intercession for us. If Jesus hasn't stopped praying for your complete restoration, why should you? Beloved, listen, don't resign yourself to any bondage to sin. Don't resign yourself to any addiction. I see men like trees. It's not good enough. Oh, Pastor Glenn, you don't know how far I've come. You don't know how bad I used to be, and I'm much better than I was. Thank God that you're not where you used to be. But listen, you're not where you're going to be either. You keep pressing into Jesus until His touch makes you whole. Don't you resign yourself to any anxiety. Don't you resign yourself to any depression. Don't you resign yourself to living in any defeat. I see men like trees is not good enough. You are a blood-bought, water-baptized, Holy Ghost-filled, overcoming child of the Most High God. Don't you give up. He's able to save to the uttermost. That means He's able to go all the way to the root of the problem, and He's able to get it all the way out and to set you free. Let Jesus touch you again and again and again, for His blood can make you every whit clean. Who is Jesus? He's the one who restores lost vision. He's the one who leads you away from fishy faith. He's the one who touches you with God's affirming, validating, comforting, reassuring touch. And He's the one who touches you again and again and again until you are completely whole. Let's stand on our feet right now. And let's give Jesus all the glory and all the praise and all the honor that's due His name. Come on, church, give Him a praise in this place today. Oh, that's not good enough. Come on, let's give Him a big praise in this place today. Come on, let's give Him the glory due His name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!